Let this abomination unto the Lord begin!
You're listening to Podcrapular Light.
Oh my God, I'm so excited, I wish I could wet my pants!
Podcrapular.
That comes with salad or soup.
Light.
I don't care how educational it is, let's do it!
Podcrapular Light.
Life is hilariously cruel.
Because Golf Widow and Andy had better things to do.
Get used to disappointment.
So you're stuck with Josh.
I happen to be a holding, stroking, loving machine. Also spank.
I've never really felt accepted at parties or nude beaches.
That young man fills me with some other emotions that are weird and deeply confusing me.
Podcrapular Light.
Listen, this is gonna be one hell of a bowel movement.
Hey, it's Josh, and welcome to yet another episode of Podcrapular Light, because Golf Widow and Andy were too busy to record a podcast. I was kind of hoping that this episode could be titled Tilt, Tilt, Tilt. Like, you know what happens when you hit a pinball machine too hard? But you young kids wouldn't know anything about pinball machines. Hell, I wouldn't know anything about pinball machines except, you know, you hit balls and they go into holes and, you know, stuff. But as of the recording of this, my new cell phone, called the Tilt, has not yet arrived. These things happen. Hopefully by the next time I get to come down here and do a recording session, I can sing the praises of my mega awesome new cell phone, which I hope to have in my presence. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. It all depends on how fast the dude from eBay decides to get me the thing. He had unanimously positive ratings. Everybody said bad communication, but great product and great shipping time and everything. So I felt pretty secure that I would get this product. And I'm sure it'll show up when it gets around to showing up. So none of that. So instead of talking about cell phones, more or less, I would like to read you an excerpt from my new short story. The title of it is going to change. I originally called it I, for One, Welcome Our New Robot Overlords, because A, it's funny, at least to me and anybody who's ever seen The Simpsons or been on the internet, and B, because originally it was going to be about robots taking over the Earth. But that's not how it ended up, so I'm actively looking for new titles. I could call it The Message, but that doesn't make anybody, you know, doesn't really make anybody's skirt blow up. So here's a few things. Let's see. Here's a scene from the third typed page out of 14. Sam had been hustled away in a hurry, but Ashley had protested, saying she wanted to finish something before she left. "Can you take me home?" "No problem," I said. "I'm going to watch some TV. Let me know when you're ready." "Okay, thank you." She disappeared back down the short hallway and into the tiny room I sometimes charitably called an office. Sam had left a small stack of papers on my coffee table, and I flipped on an episode of Star Trek that I'd saved on my TiVo, more for background noise than anything else, before shuffling through the pile. "Hey, Ashley." "Yeah?" "What's this stuff Sam put on my table?" "I don't know, something he said his printer printed out." "Thanks." At first glance, it looked like printer garbage. What happens when it doesn't talk to the computer and then wastes a whole cartridge and half a ream of paper? Page after page of three-digit number letter blocks that looked like halves of hex codes? Weird. Later, as I drove northward on 100 in the direction of Ashley's house, I asked her if she recognized any of it. "Nah, Sam said it's because my computer has a virus, but I've been doing all that stuff you said to keep it secure." "Running the virus scanner?" "Yes." "The spyware eliminator?" "Yes." "The firewall?" "Yes, God!" "Sorry," I said, grinning. It was too dim for her to see, now that she was looking. "What was the file supposed to be?" "I left a copy of it on your hard drive in case Sam needs to work on the reports some more." My eyebrows rose, then fell. Apparently my son hadn't told his so-called girlfriend that it was unusual for him to come to my house on a weekday. "You can look at it if you want. It's just articles and stuff I got from the internet." "Okay." I took the Excelsior exit and turned left. An ambulance zoomed past us, probably on the way to Methodist. "So, you don't have to talk to me," she said, not unkindly. "It's okay." And she took out her cell phone, the keys clicking as she composed a text, probably to Sam. We rode in silence for a few more minutes until I pulled up in front of her house. "Thanks for dinner," she said. "It was good." "You're welcome." But she'd already slipped out of the car and pushed the door shut. I idled at the curb until she went into the house, then headed back to Excelsior, turning up the stereo and switching over to KQRS. The Doors. I made a contented noise and turned right, back toward 100, humming along to the music, the stack of papers forgotten on my front seat. Okay, so that's that scene. Sam is the main character's son, and Ashley is his so-called daughter. Sam and Ashley are both 12. So, you know, if you've ever been a kid, you understand. Now, here's another scene that got a lot of good responses from the people in my family that I showed this story to. It's a holdover from the original version of I, for One, Welcome Our New Robot Overlords. And I think that at least one or two of the podcrapular listeners will appreciate it. So here goes. When I was 5, Star Trek came on Channel 6 every evening. My dad would get home from work halfway through the show, change out of his work clothes, shower, come into the living room, and we'd sit and watch it for a little while before dinner. Some parents bond with their kids through sports or dance. Yeah, I played baseball, but for me and my dad, it was Star Trek. Also NWA wrestling on Saturday nights, but mostly Trek, plus other sci-fi shows and movies. And at that age, I wanted to believe. I would lie in bed at night after getting goodnight kisses from my parents, clutching my stuffed dog and hoping that when I woke up, I'd be on a starship, ready to explore strange new worlds and show Captain Kirk that I was a valuable member of his crew. I wanted to believe. I wanted to believe in a future where I could work with giant robots, or join a ragtag fugitive fleet searching for a shining planet known as Earth, or of a super powerful car with lasers and turbo boosters, or hang out with a group of soldiers of fortune on the run from the government, wanted for a crime they didn't commit. That sort of thing. Then came real life. Kids in high school didn't think that was cool. They thought it made me weak and stupid. By the time I got through college, real life had taken over. Instead of believing in the United Federation of Planets, it was United Healthcare. Instead of NCC-1701, it was 401K. Instead of someday meeting Dr. McCoy, all I had to look forward to was someday meeting some doctor's gloved finger checking me for cancer. And the divorce didn't help. Oh, I still wanted to believe. I still watched all the sci-fi shows, still went to the fantasy and action movies on opening day, but that was it. There were no aliens, no superheroes, no James Bonds. I could believe anything I wanted to, as long as I believed in reality. That sequence really is just me talking about how my dad and I used to bond. We used to watch a lot of TV together, especially on Saturdays, and he got me into Star Trek, and he really appreciated that part of the story. Now, the last part that I'm going to read comes right after that, and this is when the main character is going to lunch with his friend Ben, the IT guy. Which I suppose I didn't need to say because it's in the second paragraph, but here goes. Dude, where'd you get this? Ben, the IT guy, was in my passenger seat. We were going to the new Longhorn a few miles down the road. He had the inch-thick stack of paper in his hand. My son. His girlfriend sent him a file, and it printed out all this junk. That's crazy, man. Why? Ben did something to his phone, then passed it to me. I flicked my eyes down, then took a closer look. Light, Ben said. Light, light, light! I figured it out just in time, and we jolted to a stop a couple of feet from the back end of an H2. Shit, I said, my heart pounding. Sorry. Give me back my phone if you're going to drive like that. Sorry, I handed it over. Are any of them the same? Like some kind of code or something? I don't know, man. Just drive. I'll look. The light changed, the Hummer's brake lights blinked off, and a moment later I shifted my foot to the gas and followed. Where's this place supposed to be? Ben glanced up and checked the storefronts we were passing. 2 blocks, then right, supposed to be easy to see. Got it. Bruce Springsteen was singing about the glory days. I let him tell me about the girl up the block and his dad who used to work at the Ford plant before I couldn't wait anymore. So, anything? Slow your roll, Holmes, he said. I'm looking. I tucked my Camry into a parking spot around the side of the building and turned it off. Well? I don't know, dude. I mean, it's just numbers. I sighed at him. Hey, breath mint. He held out his phone and I dropped it down into my shirt pocket before we got out of the car. Don't lose that. It cost the station almost $400. I didn't dignify that with a response, but when we were finally seated and I had my Coke, I mimed dropping it into the glass. He didn't dignify that with a response either. Just watched me page through the message on the phone and flip through the paper. Yeah, you're not getting it either. I looked up at him. It takes time. And you're a news reporter, not a cryptographer. Right, Bones? Bones? Ben preferred Star Wars. It was no surprise he didn't get the joke. Look, just forward this to me. I'll find a forum and maybe someone will help me figure it out. I handed him the phone. To my Yahoo. Not sure the work filter will let it get in. Dude, I'm the IT guy. If I send it, it gets there. Still, Yahoo. Yahoo it is. So that's part of I, for One, Welcome Our New Robot Overlords. I'm hoping to edit it sometime in December, show it to a few more people, and then send it out and get it published. So if it does get published, I guarantee that I will tell you all about it. I will also tell you that you can find out more about our show at golfwidow.podomatic.com. You can email us, podcrapular@gmail.com. You can call our comment line, 206-333-1338. You can also go to Golf Widow's blog, which is golfwidow.net, go to Andy Martello's website, andymartello.com, or to my blog, listener42.livejournal.com. I think that's everything. I really do. Anyway, so that'll about do it for this episode of Pod Crapular Light. Meanwhile, I encourage you to know yourself. Don't accept your dog's admiration as evidence that you're wonderful. I'm Josh, and I'm done.